Have you ever felt like you were stuck in a situation that you couldn't escape from? And it's almost like you're wrapped in chains. It's almost like you're being dragged along. You're not controlled on your own. I'm not talking about kindergartners and how they have a tendency to control everything that you do. And I'm not talking even about going to work and having to do what your boss says. But there are chains in life, aren't there? There are things that wrap us up, that keep us bound, that keep us from doing all of the things that God has called us to do. There are chains that we deal with in life. And it can feel like life has you pinned down, like you're bound by circumstances. Sometimes it's anxiety or doubts that you have. Some of you guys in here, you're here because you're wrestling. And that is great. This is the best place for you to be if you're wrestling with your faith. In fact, I think all of us in here would say that from time to time in our lives that we have had moments where we've questioned, we've maybe not doubted God, but we've doubted God's promises. We've had concerns in life and haven't been able to break free from the chains that hold us bound. And while this is a nice, tangible example of what a chain can be, the truth is a lot of the chains that we face in life are invisible. They're things like depression, anxiety, stress. There's physical ailments that people are carrying around in their bodies right now that we never know about. We have no idea what they're going through. I was talking to a lady this last week who has a plate and 13 screws in her neck. And like you'd never notice just from talking to her, you would never understand it. But then, you know, she's talking about her experience and she says that it's kind of like trying to hold a bowling ball up with two chopsticks. And it's like you know that people are going through things that you can never see and you can never understand. And we all have these chains in life that hold us bound. And the weight of these chains and the thing that we're shackled to, whatever it is, can make every small step of progress that we're trying to make it feel like we're climbing Mount Everest. And it feels like everything is so much harder and takes so much more effort than we ever expected it would take. Today we're going to talk about prayer because we're not meant to carry these chains. We're not meant to be bound up in the circumstances and the situations of life. We're not meant to have anxiety, doubt, depression, fear, loneliness, all of these things carrying a weight on top of us. Instead, God wants to give us freedom. God wants to set us free today. And there's a power that's available to you and a connection with God that can actually lift those burdens that you're facing in life. And so our question for today then is, what if the burden you are carrying is meant to be carried by God? I've had moments in my life where I felt weighed down, trapped. Some of my biggest burdens have been the weight that I've carried for my kids. If you ask Tiffany, Tiffany especially has so much, she does so much study, so much research into the things that our kids are going through to try and understand so that we can help them as they're learning to process and go through life. When Owen was 6 months old, or around 6 months old, he came down with RSV. And this was another weight, another battle that we carried, because for 2 weeks he was in the hospital. Every time he would try to take a breath, his chest would collapse in instead of going out. And it was the scariest thing watching him hooked up to, you know, he's got an oxygen mask on and he's just trying, you know, at 6 months old, struggling for his life. And a lot of us in here, we carry weights like this. We carry burdens like this. And I'm sure that all of us in here probably have some sort of a weight, some sort of a burden, something that we're carrying. But thankfully, the Bible teaches us that prayer isn't just a ritual. Instead, it's an essential practice that connects us with God and with His power. Now, when we talk about God's power, it's important that when we go to God to seek His face and not His hand. We want to understand God. We want to know God. We want to have a relationship with God. And then as a good father, he's a father that wants to meet our needs. Amen? He wants to bless us. He wants to touch us. He wants to do things in our life. And as a good father, we can go to him, we can ask him for things, and we can trust that he's going to come through for us. So I'm going to talk about the power of God and the ability that prayer has to connect us with the power of God. But it's important that you understand the context from last week, where we talked about how God is not a cosmic vending machine, where we don't just put our quarter prayer in, punch a couple buttons, and expect to receive what we want from God. Instead, God designed prayer to be first and foremost a relationship. Okay, it is a conduit to his power. It is a way that we can connect in to the power of God. But first and foremost, it's a relationship. Is everybody with me? All right, cool. Just wanted to make sure that we set that guideline. All right. So our big picture today then is that prayer unlocks the power of God in our lives. Let me say that again. Prayer unlocks the power of God in our lives. It's last Monday. I was meeting with a group of pastors, and we were talking about prayer and talking about some of the things that we see God doing in our churches. And one of them mentioned that he had taught last summer, I think, on prayer, and had gone through and he had looked through the book of Acts, and he noticed that every miracle in the book of Acts was preceded by prayer. Every time there's something that happens, it starts with a group of people or a person or an individual that's praying. And that thought stuck with me, so I came back to the office after the breakfast was over, and I started doing a little bit of research and found out that he was wrong. So if you're watching today, sorry about that. There were actually a couple of miracles that were not preceded by prayer, but as I list them out, I think you guys are going to understand that there was probably prayer involved in this. One of them is where Peter is walking along and his shadow starts healing people. That's a pretty miraculous sign. I'm guessing that there was some prayer involved in there, but he doesn't touch anybody. He doesn't lay hands on anybody. He doesn't pray over anybody. Instead, he's just walking, and as his shadow passes over people, there is healing that takes place. Another one is that Philip is credited with miraculous signs, and it doesn't specifically mention how those signs take place because it's just like one phrase in a story, and so it doesn't talk about prayer specifically. But then the other one is Paul, and they mention that Paul, when he's they would take like handkerchiefs and things that had touched him, and they would send it to people. And it doesn't say that they prayed over him first, because it was enough that Paul had touched them, and then they were sent off, and people would receive those handkerchiefs, and they would be healed. And so in that case as well, there wasn't a specific prayer happening, but all of those things we can imagine, and we can understand that they were covered in prayer, and at the very least, they were because of a relationship that these apostles had with the Spirit of God. And they were because they were in constant communion, constant contact with the presence of God, that they were able to unlock something that God wants to unlock in us as well. There are 13 instances then where prayer is mentioned in the book of Acts, and God came through in big ways. We see people released from prison. We see people find freedom in Christ. We see people having their lives turned upside down. We see people rescued from a shipwreck. And most importantly, the good news of the gospel is proclaimed throughout the known world. And because of that, we know and we can see there's a pattern that starts to form as we read through the book of Acts. And there's a pattern that I think that we can put into practice in our lives as well. We've been talking about it for weeks now, but I want to call it out again, and that is the law of the harvest. And so if we could put that slide up really quick. The law of the harvest says this. It says that every action, everything we do is a seed. And so in our context here, when we pray, it is a seed that we're planting in the ground. Every seed then is a harvest, because everything that we plant is going to grow up, whether it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, it's going to grow, and we can take confidence knowing that it will grow. But the harvest takes time. You don't always see the results of it right away. You're going to come tonight at 6 o'clock, you're going to pray wherever you're at tonight at 6 o'clock. God's going to put something on your heart. You're going to start praying for that thing. You're going to plant a seed in the ground, and then you're probably not going to get a phone call at 6:05 telling you that that person is healed, or that person is ready to come home, or that person has been delivered delivered from their anxiety or depression, you know, you're probably not going to get a phone call right away. But instead, the harvest takes time a lot of times, and it's not on us to make it happen, but God is responsible for the growth. And so today we want to look at the harvest that can happen when we plant seeds of Spirit-led prayer in our lives. Because when we pray, God's power is released. When we pray, God's power is released. I mentioned it earlier, but I'll say it again. Life often feels like a prison. Not with physical chains, of course, but with chains of stress, fear, doubt, addiction. But the good news, I wish I was strong enough or had primed Jamie ahead of time to like cut a link in here so that I could rip these in half, because that would be a really cool illustration right now. But I didn't. And anyway, but the power of God wants to break the chains in our lives. Man, it'd be so cool just to be like the Hulk right now, just like ripping the chains apart, wouldn't it? You guys would be so impressed. But but this is an even better illustration, because I can't do it on my own, can I? I would have needed Jamie's help to pull that off. And because I didn't talk to him ahead of time, I didn't have it. But I can't do it on my own. Instead, I need access to a greater power. I need access to somebody that knows more than I do. And in the same way, we believe that God wants to break through whatever is holding you back. God wants to break through whatever is holding you back in life. Because prayer is the key that unlocks the power of God in our lives. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 12. We're going to look at just one story today, but I'm going to make reference to a bunch of different things. Because like I said, as I was studying out the book of Acts and all of these different things kept coming to me, I was like, how am I ever going to narrow it down to just one thing that God wants us to talk about today? But then I found this one, and God started speaking to me about this idea of chains. And all of a sudden, it was like, okay, I think I know what direction God wants us to take today. Acts chapter 12 tells a story of Peter, and it starts in verse 1 with the death of one of the apostles. Let me get over here. Okay, so verse 1 says that it was about that time that King Herod had some of the Christians, some of the believers, some of them arrested. And verse 2 tells us that James, who was the brother of John, one of the apostles, not James, the brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of James later on in the New Testament, but instead James, one of the apostles, was put to death, who was beheaded because of King Herod. Now, just little side note for those of you that are trying to keep track, this is the third King Herod that is mentioned in the Bible. The first one is when Jesus is born and King Herod is ruling, and he sends people to, he interacts with the wise man. That's the first one. The second one is the King Herod that presides when Jesus is taken to trial and ultimately crucified. This is King Herod the third, King Herod Agrippa. He's the grandson of King Herod the Great, and he has James arrested. He has James put to death. He sees how much the Jews like this, and he's like, hey, I might be onto something here. This might be a good way to win some favor with the people. And so he decides that he's going to do, you know, if one was good, maybe we can do some more and maybe even get more favor with the Jews. So he has Peter arrested as well. But the church didn't accept defeat in this moment. They could have seen that one person is already dead, another of our leaders is arrested. We should probably just give this whole thing up. But instead, they didn't accept defeat, but they turned to prayer. Verse 5 says this, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. As they prayed, we see that God moved. I'm not going to read the whole thing right now, but you guys can go back and read it later. Actually, I will read the whole thing right now. We're doing good on time. Okay, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. This is a funny story. I love this. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. So he's still like wiping the sleep out of his eyes, and he's like, you know, an angel shows up and says, "Hey, follow me," and he's like, "All right, this is what Jesus told me just a few years ago. I followed Jesus. I'm going to follow you, angel." So he gets up and he goes out and he starts walking with the angel. Says he had no idea that it was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. So they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that the Jewish people were hoping would happen." If you guys could skip down just a little bit. Verse 18, in the morning there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. And after Herod had a thorough search made of him, he did not find him and interviewed the guards and then had them executed. So it ends up being this story of triumph, this story where God comes through in a big moment. This is a story, and you know, when I was praying and God started speaking about this idea of chains, it came from reading this, and I was thinking about the chains that bind us and the things that hold on to us, the things that try and keep us bound. For Peter, it was literal physical chains, but all of us are carrying something. All of us have a weight that we're going through and trying to deal with in life. And as the believers got together and as they started to pray, we see that God moved in this circumstance. And I think one of the big keys that we see here is when you are going through something, when you're struggling with something, it's important to get other people around you that can pray for you. It's important to get into a spot. And at the end of service today, we're going to have an opportunity for you to come forward to the altars and to receive prayer. And we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. And the reason is because we believe that there's power in agreement. There's power in corporate prayer. There's power in coming before God and saying, "God, I need your help." And there's power in acknowledging that to other people as well. The Bible says that we're not meant to live this life alone. Instead, we are the body of Christ. And all of us have different gifts. All of us have different abilities. And all of us were made to encourage each other as we go through life. So one of the keys that we learn here is that it is important for us to pray together. As they prayed, God moved. And this wasn't a coincidence, of course. It was the power of prayer at work. In Acts 16, there's another story of another imprisonment where Paul and Silas are imprisoned. They pray and they worship. There's an earthquake that time. The chains fall off, the doors fly open. And our question today, again, comes back to this idea of what is holding you back? What are the prison cells in life that you're dealing with? What are the things that you've trapped, that you've become trapped in? And you need God to work things out for you. You need God to come through for you. I think an interesting part of this story is that it's not entirely clear that anybody had faith that anything was going to happen. First of all, you see Peter, who's asleep in the prison. When he gets up, he's not even sure that what is happening is actually taking place. He's led from, he's even as he's walking out of the prison, he thinks he's seeing a vision. And it's not until he gets outside that he realizes that, wait, this is actually happening. God is actually doing something here. But then there's a funny little moment that we skipped over in verse 13. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, so he went to the place where they were praying. He knocked at the outer entrance. A servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without even opening the door and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." She goes and tells everybody else, but she won't even let the guy in. He's like standing there. He's like, "Hey, it's me, Peter." And she's like, "Oh my gosh." And so she runs and tells everybody, and like he's just standing at the closed door. Do I knock again? Or I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, where you're standing at a door and you're like, this is, I guess, hopefully somebody comes back for me. The people inside that were praying, though, verse 15, you're out of your mind, they say. She kept insisting that it was so. They said, oh, it must be an angel. So they were praying, but it's not even clear that they believed what was going to happen. But there's still power in coming to God. Whether you believe or not, there's a story in one of the Gospels where there's this father that comes to Jesus, and he's standing in front of Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I need you to heal my son. Jesus says, all things are possible for them who believe. And what does the man say back to him? He says, Jesus, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And there's power in coming to God with a bold humility like that that says, God, I want what you have. I know that you have the ability to do this, but God, I just can't see it. I don't understand how it's going to happen. I understand. I've heard the stories. I know that you've come through for other people, but God, I want to see it in my life as well. God, I want to see it in me. I want to see it when I pray for people. God, I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered. And there's power in coming to God in those moments and saying, God, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know the right words to say. I don't know what you want for me. I don't know what you want from me. God, I'm just here. And I'm trusting you. And I'm believing that you want to come through for me. We talked last week about this idea of bold humility. It's exactly what this is. They didn't know if God was going to answer them. For all they knew, Peter was going to be executed the next day. Herod is on this power trip. All of the Jews are you know, the I guess practicing Jews are on his side. They're cheering him on. They're like, yeah, this is awesome. Let's do this again. They get together. They're praying. They're believing God. They're trusting God. There's nothing else they can do, right? They're desperate in this moment. Like, God, we're going to continue to come back to you to lay it down. But they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know if God was going to come through for them. And even when the miracle presented itself, there were questions. There were concerns. It's such an interesting part of the story because they were anxious, they were fearful, they were hopeless, but they prayed and God answered them anyway. And that should honestly give us so much confidence and so much hope in our lives that whatever you're going through, whatever your burden is, whatever the weight, whatever the chain is that you're carrying in life, to just go to God and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust that you can. I trust that you want to come through for me. Because he wants to answer your prayers. Next thought, next point is you have access to the power of God. And I'm going to throw in a little addendum to this, whether you believe it or not. You have access to the power of God, whether you believe it or not. Sometimes all you can do is just squeak out a prayer. In 1 Samuel, there's a story of Samuel's mother, Hannah, who goes to the temple, and she is so distressed because she's been married for years. She's been trying to have a kid. She's not been able to have a child. And she goes to the temple, and every year they would go and they would present sacrifices, and they would pray to God. Every year she would go and she would ask God, God, give me a son. And every year she would come back the next year with no child in tow. And she's praying to God and she's believing God, she's trusting God, but she's confused. She doesn't understand, but she's faithful, and she keeps going. In fact, she's in the story in 1 Samuel, she's praying at the altar, and the priest, because she's muttering to herself, thinks that she's drunk, because it's all she can do to just kind of try and get the words out, and just kind of try and pray. And yet because of her faithfulness and because of her prayers, God blesses her, and she ends up having a son who becomes the prophet Samuel, who helps the kingdom transition into a monarchy. He's the last of the judges, the last of that line of prophets, and he helps the nation as they then start to appoint kings. Another story in the Bible, we see in the crucifixion, we see the thief on the cross who had no right to expect to receive anything from Jesus. But he offers up a prayer in that moment. Really, not even a prayer, just a defense of God. And Jesus looks over at him. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. He had no standing, right? You have access to the power of God, whether you believe it or not, whether you deserve it or not. You have access to the power of God. God wants to do something. God wants to bless you in your life. We don't always get the prayers that we're or the answers that we're looking for when we go to God in prayer. There's a story at the end of 1 Samuel where David has he's had an affair. The child that was born because of this affair is sick. David starts fasting and praying. And he spends so much time in the temple that all of his handlers, all of the people around him are like we don't know what to do. This is obviously like he's depressed, he's anxious, he's stressed out. He's spending all of his time, he's not eating, he's covered in sackcloth and ashes. David is doing everything that he knows how to do to pray and intercede for this baby, and the baby ends up dying. And his handlers, the people around him, don't even want to tell David because they're afraid of what David might do to himself. And yet, in that moment, God speaks to David. And in that moment, David knows what's happened. And for some reason, in that moment, peace comes over him. We don't always get the prayers. We don't always get the answers that we're looking for. But as we go to God in prayer, as we plant those seeds in our life, God produces a harvest in miraculous ways. And David is able to see God's hand at work even in the death of his son. And so we see how God wants to answer and how God wants to do things differently. There's other moments in the book of Acts where there's these powerful moments of prayer that take place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the disciples get together and they pray following Jesus' ascension. And Jesus tells them, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to pray and to wait for me because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to come and he's going to help you do the things that you need to do. In Acts chapter 2, then the disciples wait for the promised Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, there's another scene where some of the apostles are arrested for a healing that takes place. They're arrested, they're thrown in prison. And I love this response after they're brought to trial. They're made to stand before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, they say to him, they say, you are allowed to go, you're free to go, because at this point they hadn't gotten to the part of murdering the apostles, and said, they're like, okay, we're going to let you go, but we're going to let you go with a warning. And the warning is this: you are not allowed to talk about this Jesus guy anymore. And if you do, worse things are going to happen. Well, in Acts chapter 12, we saw the worst things that were going to happen. But in Acts chapter 4, this was their attitude. And this is such a powerful statement. It says this, it says, the apostles and the Christians, the believers of the day, they get together and they start to pray, and they pray this prayer. They say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. You see, the church prayed after Peter and John were threatened and the place where they met was shaken. The prayer, though, was not for protection. This is what I love about this prayer. It wasn't God keep us safe. It wasn't God help us to navigate this current political climate and help us not to say anything that's going to get us in trouble. It wasn't God help us to only go to the people that are going to be open and receptive and just to ignore all of the people out there. Instead, they said, God, you see what's happening. God, you see the challenges, you see the mountains that are laid before us, you see the chains that they're trying to put on us. God, we don't want safety, we want boldness. God, fill us with your Spirit again. Fill us up with something that enables us to speak your word and to do it boldly, even understanding that our lives might be the cost that we pay. Even understanding that there might be challenges that come up in life because we speak your word boldly. I think in this moment here, they saw the execution of James coming. They saw the persecution coming. They knew that they had a choice in this moment in Acts chapter 4 to say, we are going to either pack our bags, head home, forget this whole thing ever happened, or we're going to lean in. We're going to trust God. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. And so in verse 31, then, the Bible records that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke boldly. And what I love about this prayer, we've been talking about this for weeks now, but they looked into the mirror of God's word. They looked into the things that God was telling them to do. They saw the external circumstances. They saw the things that were getting ready to come against them. They saw the potential chains that were getting ready to come. They looked into the mirror of God's word. They said, God, you said it. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to follow through with what you want us to do. And they allowed God to transform them in that moment into a people that spoke the word of God even more boldly than they had before. Just a couple chapters later in verse 7, Stephen becomes the first martyr. And it's because of this moment right here. It all draws back to this decision that they made. They said, God, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe you. We're going to follow after you. So what we see here is that you can have access to the power of God, whether you believe it or not, whether you deserve it or not. And in this case, we see that they had access to the power of God that enabled them to do something that was so amazing and outstanding. And what we want to challenge you guys with today, what we want to leave with you today, is we want to challenge you to make prayer a daily habit. Make prayer a daily habit. God's power is available to you. He's not distant, and he's not reluctant to help. He's waiting for you to call on him. Because when we do, imagine those disciples in that moment going to God saying, God, we're praying and we're believing for boldness. You know what that does? That forces you to be more connected to him. That forces you to if I'm going to take this step, if I'm going to take this step of faith, this isn't just a little baby step. This isn't just walking down to the altar at the end of service. This is a giant step. And I'm going to have to take all of the consequences that come with it. And what that means is I'm going to have to trust God every step of the way. And so what we can imagine that happened here, and then we go forward and we see Philip. You know, it doesn't even mention prayer, but he's seeing people healed. We see Peter's shadow crossing over people and them being healed. We see that they develop not just a prayer ministry, but a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle that said that we're going to trust God, we're going to believe God, we're going to lean on God in the good times and in the bad times. And when the bad times come, we're going to pray for boldness. We're going to pray that God would give us everything that we need. With this idea of making prayer a daily habit, one thing I would encourage you, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but to add it to your normal routine. So if you normally take a shower in the morning, maybe put a post-it note on the shower door for a couple weeks to remind you to pray as you're getting into the shower, or if you have to spend time styling your hair, or if you have to drive to work every day. Find ways to make it a part of your normal routine. If you make coffee in the morning, hang it on the coffee pot. Whatever it is, find a way to make prayer a part of your normal routine so that this becomes a conversation between you and God, where you're asking God, you're trusting God, you're leaning on him, you're taking those steps of faith that he asks you to do, and you're going to see your life transformed by the power of God. What would happen if all of us made prayer a priority in our lives? I'm hoping that we can find out together. I'm hoping that all of us can make this commitment. We can start to see God move in our lives. Some of you today, you're feeling this weight. You feel this bondage. You feel like you're stuck in chains. You feel like you're like Peter in prison. You've been fighting battles on your own, trying to figure it out, but the weight is too heavy for you. And the truth is, you were never meant to do it on your own. The church that was praying for Peter, and God moved. There's a church, there's a body of believers that wants to pray for you and to lift you up as well. And maybe you've been praying, but you've lost faith that God hears you. Or maybe you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus. Today is the day to step into a real relationship with him. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me up on stage, if you need God to move in your life, if you're carrying a weight that you shouldn't be carrying, whether it's a breakthrough, whether it's healing, whether it's wisdom, or whether it's just to feel the presence of God, I want you to take a bold step right now. And if that's you in this place, I want you to acknowledge just by raising your hand. Say, I need something from God today. There's a weight, there's a chain, there's something inside of me that is holding me down. If you would be so bold right now as to raise your hand and just acknowledge to God, God, I need you. I need your help in this place. Father God, you see these hands that are lifted up. God, you know the situations that they're going through. God, you know their circumstances. God, I believe and I trust that, Lord, you are doing something in their hearts right now. God, that you want to lift this weight. You want to ease this burden. God, you want to show yourself in a new way, in a way, God, that says, God, that we can come to you and trust you. God, whether we deserve it, whether we believe it, whether we even understand it, God, we can come to you. If you're here in this place and the step that you need to take is to take that first step into a relationship with God, I want to give you an opportunity to do that as well. Maybe you're watching us online today. You couldn't make it because of the snow, but you want to take that step towards Jesus. If that's you in this place, I want to invite you to accept Jesus into your heart, to place your faith and your trust in him. What we're going to do is in just a second, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to have you raise your hand. And the reason that we do that is because I think there's something powerful about acknowledging that, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to lay my life down because I trust that you've got a better plan for me. I've been carrying a weight for too long and I can't do it on my own. So if that's you in this place, you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to start that relationship with him, go ahead and raise your hand when I count to three. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody in here? Got a couple hands over here. Anybody else? You guys can go ahead and put your hands down. Anybody else in here? When we're done, when we dismiss the service, we're going to have somebody back at this Next Steps counter in the back. If you raised your hand today, you want more information, would encourage you to go back there and to, we've got some free resources on the back wall there. Grab some of those and you can learn what it means to really start this walk and this relationship with Jesus. For the rest of us in here today, I want to encourage you guys, if you raised your hand or even if you didn't, we're going to open up the altars. We're going to have the prayer team come forward at this time. We're going to follow God. We're going to spend some time worshiping God. And if you want prayer, if there's a weight, if there's a chain, if there's something that's holding on to you, I want to encourage you to come and to hand it over to God. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet? And if you want prayer, come forward. Worship team, go ahead and lead us today.